What does the resurrection mean to me? Everything. It's the linchpin of my Christian faith. When I have doubts, doubt isn't quite the right word. When I wonder, is it all true? I go through two stages. First, I reflect on the immensity and intricacy of the universe, and on the astounding creatures that human beings are. And I find I cannot believe that it all just happened, that it's just here. It's not that I run through a bunch of arguments. I can't believe it. It's the Spirit working in me. But that's God as creator. What about the Christian faith, its distinctives? Then I reflect on the resurrection, on the biblical reports. I've read books about evidence and so forth. A really good book is by N.T. Wright, Tom Wright, whom Jack often refers to, The Resurrection of the Son of God. But it's not as if I run through arguments. I read the stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I found myself convinced. So it's those two stages. So it's the linchpin, as you see, of my Christian faith. In both cases, it's no doubt the Spirit, as Carol was saying, working within me. What Paul says in the passage that was our text for this morning, 2 Corinthians 15, is that if the resurrection of Christ had not happened, then our faith is in vain. I resonate deeply with that declaration by St. Paul. But it means something more than that for me, the resurrection. It means faith in our resurrection, in my resurrection, in your resurrection. Paul also talks about that. Christ's resurrection was not a one-off thing. It was the first fruits. Michigan is an apple-growing territory. It's the first apples from the early fall, late summer crop. And what the confidence in our resurrection means for me is, well, yeah, we'll resurrected bodies and so forth, and that's important. But what it especially means for me is that there will be the healing of all our fractured loves. Dan loved his friend. Carol loved Clint. I loved our son, Eric, who was killed in a mountain climbing accident in June 1983. The death of someone that one loves is a deep rupture in one's life. My own image is that your love was attached, went out of you, was attached to that person. And now there's nothing to which it's attached anymore. It's just floating free. So the day of the resurrection means that somehow these fractured loves will be healed. The fracturing of my, Claire's, our children's love of Eric. Fracturing of my and my twin sister's, Henrietta's, love of our natural mother who died when we were 3.5 years old, whom we scarcely got to know. A healing, you see what I mean? A healing of these fractures, of these fractured love is what the resurrection of the body, the resurrection of the personal body is really what it means, what the resurrection means. So Easter has, one is tugged in two directions at Easter. One remembers Christ's resurrection. One looks ahead to the resurrection, the cosmic resurrection. And there's also a temporal, a present dimension. Have you ever noticed how many of the Easter hymns and Christmas hymns, how many of the Easter hymns are in the present tense? Christ the Lord is risen today. And so forth. Alleluia, alleluia. Over and over. Today, now, the tomb is empty. Now, it's as if it happened this morning. So there's something about how we Christians appropriate the resurrection that makes us not want to put it in the past tense, but in the present tense. So for me, Easter, in some mysterious way, puts all three temporal dimensions together. The past, Christ's resurrection, the future, cosmic resurrection. Jesus Christ arose today, alleluia, today, today, this morning, this happy morn. There's something that has really struck me recently about the biblical reports about Jesus' resurrected persona. People didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize him. As Luke puts it, their eyes had to be opened. And I find it fascinating to see how their eyes were opened. Mary didn't recognize him until Jesus said, Mary, he said her name. The apostles on the road to Emmaus didn't recognize him until they sat down and Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it. Their eyes were opened. The apostles are at the seashore fishing. Jesus is on the seashore. They don't recognize him until he says, cast your net on the other side of the boat, and they did, and they got an abundance of fish. So when Jesus names us, calls us by name, when Jesus breaks bread, when Jesus invites us to an abundance. But the most striking thing in Luke and John is this. Jesus shows his hands and feet. They show their wounds, but I assume they're not bleeding anymore, that they're not hurting anymore. But he shows his hands and feet. That's to establish who he is. To establish who he is as the resurrected one, Jesus shows the signs of his being the crucified one. And so those two always have to be kept together. His identity as the resurrected one is his identity as the crucified one. But what does that mean for us? What about our wounds? Do we, in some sense, keep the signs of them? They don't bleed anymore. They won't bleed anymore. But do they just disappear? I don't think so. So I want to close by reading a few passages from the book I wrote in honor of Eric, Lament for a Son. Put your hand into my wounds, said the risen Jesus to Thomas, and you will know who I am. The wounds of Christ are his identity. They tell us who he is. He did not lose them. They went down into the grave with him, and they came up with him, visible, tangible, palpable. Rising did not remove them. He who broke the bonds of death kept his wounds. To believe in Christ's rising from the grave is to accept it as a sign of our own rising from our graves. If for each of us it was our destiny to be obliterated, and for all of us together it was our destiny to fade away without a trace, then not Christ's rising, but my dear son's early dying would be the logo of our fate. Slowly I begin to see that there is something more as well. To believe in Christ's rising and death's dying is also to live with the power and the challenge to rise up now from all our dark graves of suffering love. If sympathy for the world's wounds is not enlarged by our anguish, if love for those around us is not expanded, if gratitude for what is good does not flame up, if insight is not deepened, if commitment to what is important is not strengthened, if aching for a new day is not intensified, if hope is weakened and faith diminished, if from the experience of death comes nothing good, then death has won. Then, death, be proud. So I shall struggle to live the reality of Christ's rising and death's dying. In my living, my son's dying will not be the last word. But as I rise up, I bear the wounds of his death. My rising does not remove them. They mark me. If you want to know who I am, put your hand in. Imagination and thought are out of, another passage. Imagination and thought are out of phase. Sometimes it's as if he's not dead, just away. I see him, then thought intervenes and says, remembers he's dead now. And not just picturing, but also hearing. For weeks, as boxes of books and clothes stood in the entry, I could not bear to move them. Finally, I began carrying them off to the garage. While carrying the fifth box or so, I heard his cheerful voice, loud and clear, calling from the entry. Hey, Dad, I'm back. I wonder how it'll all go when God raises him and the rest of us from the dead. Giving us new bodies seems no great problem. But how is he going to fit us all together into God's new city? Eric, your man of the 20th century, has to be fitted in with someone from long ago who lived in primitive conditions. And there are so many, so innumerably many. I see them stretching way back, their faces eventually becoming just a brownish haze from here. Everybody is known by somebody in that crowd, but the memories usually trail off somewhere. So that up front here, we know only a very few. God alone has them all in mind. I don't see how God's going to bring it all off. But I suppose if he can create, he can recreate. I wonder if it's all true. I wonder if he's really going to do it. Will I hear Eric say someday, really now, I mean, hey, Dad, I'm back. But remember, I made all this and raised my son from the dead. So, okay. So goodbye, Eric. Goodbye, goodbye. Until we see. 179.